Swans have ended a 20-year drought. Stevenson, Cracker gathers, shoots, and Swans have won the grand final.
Hi, this is Dennis Cometti, and you're listening to the Monday Waffle.
Hello, and welcome to the Monday Waffle podcast for round 13. Anna Hay, welcome back. A little 12-week hiatus for you.
Yep, it has been.
Round one, you were last here, and you just thought, that's enough for me for the first half of the season. I'll let the boys take over from there.
Yeah, I did. You know, we did have a few girls, all girls in the first episode. So I thought I'd give the boys a shot before I came back with all my waffle knowledge.
Plenty of waffle knowledge to waffle on about today, that's for sure. Now, if you could just get all your name pronunciations right, that'd be really good.
Yeah, easy. Too easy.
All right, Anna, you had a close look at the South Freo East Perth game and the Peel and Swan Districts game. Tell us what you saw.
So we'll start with the Peel Thunder and Swan Districts. They did kick off the round at Bendigo Bank Stadium. Peel Thunder defeated Swan Districts 10-18, 78 to 9-6, 60. Peel was in control of the contest from the outset, kicking 3-1 in the first quarter and another 4-3 in the second to lead by 24 points at half time. But the Swans did show some fight in the third term to get back within 7 points by three-quarter time. Thunder steady to win with a 3-goal margin. Fremantle listed Sean Darcy kicked 3 goals for Peel and Gerald Ugle.
There we go with the name pronunciations.
Gerald Ugle kicked 2 goals.
Gerald
Ugle kicked 2 goals in his 100th waffle appearance, so that's great effort by him. Thunder's Daniel Pierce racked up 35 possessions, Taylan Duman 31, Keegan Power 28, and Freo's Bradley Hill 25. There are some tough names in there, so you've got to give me a break here.
And he did a great job.
Thank you.
Good to see Brad Hill back amongst the possessions for Peel. He'll be straight back into the Freo side, you'd think, after his little incident up in Scarborough.
Yeah, we would hope so. So Freo's coach, Ross Lyon, did say in his post-match press conference that team selectors would be looking to bring back Bradley Hill after their 55-point loss to Brisbane Lions at Optus Stadium on Sunday night. And to Swan Districts, Todd Banfield proved their most dangerous forward, kicking 3 goals from 15 possessions, six tackles and 5 marks. And to the second match of the round, South Fremantle moved clear in second position on the waffle ladder with a comfortable 21-point win against East Perth on Saturday at Fremantle Community Bank Oval. South Freo 16-9-105 to East Perth's 12-12-84. The Bulldogs did have to recover from a slow start, though, with the Royals kicking the first 4 goals of the game and led by 29 points entering time on the first quarter. But once South Freo got on the board, the returning Ben Saunders, the Bulldogs got going and kicked 9-1 in the second quarter to set up the eventual 21-point win after leading by as much as 39.
Jesus Christ, 9-goal second quarter.
Yeah, it's big.
You can't be affording to cough that up.
No, and 9-1. So
they
definitely dominated.
Maybe East Perth should keep that alignment with West Coast after all.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that later.
Yeah, we will. And Corey DeLolio, Mason Shaw, Ben Saunders and Ashton Hams all kicked 3 goals apiece for South Freo. Marlon Pickett was tremendous again as a midfielder with 32 possessions for the Bulldogs, while Jacob Dragosevich had 28 disposals, Nick Subin 25, Hayden Schloeth 23, Shane Hockey 21 and Brandon Donaldson 19. West Coast midfielder Dom Sheed got 34 disposals for the Royals, which was... He might, you know, be back in the Eagles' side this weekend.
He's been unlucky to be out, I think.
Yeah, for sure. And then Captain Patrick McGinnity, 26. Luke Partington, 25. Francis Watson, 19. And Jackson Cahill, 18. So, yeah, good games for those two.
It's a big turnaround
matches.
From being up by 30 points to lose.
Yeah, I know.
To trail by 39 at one point, did you say? And they lost, so... East Perth on the skids a little bit. All right, well, there you have it. And as I covered the Subi West Perth game and the Claremont and East Freo game, Claremont has snuck into the five after their victory over East Fremantle. But we'll have a quick look at the Subi game against West Perth at Joondalup Arena. Subi were 33-point victors, 15-9-99 to 10-6-66. Lachlan Delahunty continued his massive season for the Lions. He had 5 goals amongst 28 touches and 11 marks. We did throw his name around the other day as someone who might be taking a few Sandover votes off the likes of Kyle Horsley. He'll be sure to get the full votes from the game on Saturday. And if he continues in that sort of form, he might win the Sandover himself. Josh DeLuca, he continues to rack the pill up. He had 34 touches. Chris Phelan had 31. Kyle Horsley had 29 touches himself in another really good display. And Subiaco continued on their winning ways, really. They just continued to get the job done. It did get close at one point during the third quarter, but back to about 8 points, but they kicked 4 of the next 5, and they ran out with that 5-goal victory. Zach Clark also, have to mention, he had 51 hit-outs with 17 touches, so a huge game. And for the Falcons, Andrew Strike kicked 4. Shane Nelson had 36 touches, and Aaron Black continued his massive season with 30 touches. I mean, that's Subi have won 11 now. They haven't lost a game, and really no one has gone that close to beating them, but the margins have shrunk significantly since the start of the season. Their percentage it's come back to 221, Anna. Wow. So, I mean, they're coming back to the pack a little bit, but not a whole lot. And then Claremont, as I said, snuck into the five with a 20-point victory over East Frio up in Geraldton. They won at 13-11-89 to 10-9-69. Ian Richardson was amongst the best for the Tigers. He kicked 4. Tom Lee, plenty of the ball, but did not have his kicking boots on. He kicked 1 goal 4. Tom Curran had 30. Jai Bolton and Kane Mitchell both continue to win plenty of the footy with 25 and 23 respectively. Jack Beck, a very close friend of the podcast, had him on a couple of times. He had 22 touches. And East Freo, it's just the same names every week, really. You constantly look at these guys and you watch their footy. And George Hampson, he had another 33 touches. Nick Comer, he had 26. And another friend of the podcast, Cam Eardley, had 25 touches. So, I mean, the waffle ladder is as close as you could possibly hope. Most teams have played 11 or 12 games now. And we've got Peel sitting outside the five on percentage. East Perth, only a game and percentage out of the five. Even Perth, they've won 4. And they're just a game and percentage out of the five. So East Freo are really the only team that doesn't look like they're going to be able to make it this year. But Swans, Claremont, Peel, all 5 wins. East Perth and Perth, 4 wins. West Perth, South Freo, 7 and 8 wins. So you'd think they're in. So the top 3, you'd think more or less they will get there eventually. But Swans, Claremont, Peel, East Perth and Perth, they're going to be 5 sides fighting out for 2 spots in the finals at the end of the year. Some big news in the waffle, Anna, over the last couple of days. I'm sure most of you have heard that East Perth has requested to end its relationship with West Coast. They no longer want to be affiliated with the Eagles. And Anna, do you care to explain a little further for everyone?
Yes. So the West Australian Football Commission were given a notice of termination by East Perth after their board decided to move to a traditional waffle club structure. And the West Coast CEO, Trevor Nisbet, said the club's preferred position was to, in fact, have its own team in the competition as early as possible. So what do you think about this? Are you for or against Eagles going it alone?
I'm for it. I hope it happens to Peel as well. I hope Peel and Freo cease their relationship. I know Peel's advantaged massively by being associated with Freo. I mean, the last 2 premierships they've won, people will say, are a little bit compromised given the fact that, you know, they've had a lot of Freo players back in the finals to win those premierships. I'd like to see a traditional setup with the waffle clubs, developing juniors and end those affiliations. If they get their own reserves teams, I think that's fine. But I think it's better for the Waffle and East Perth and Peel to remain their own clubs and be separate from those AFL clubs going forward. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, so similar to a VFL sort of structure.
Yeah. The VFL is obviously a little bit different because there's 10 AFL sides in Victoria. So every AFL side has a VFL side. But then there's teams like Port Melbourne who are standalone VFL clubs, and Port Melbourne have been like super successful the last few years, playing in finals. I think even maybe winning or losing a grand final, winning or losing a grand final as early as last season.
Right.
So I think standalone clubs can go it alone. There's a lot of mature age footballers out there who are willing to play for a standalone side who can really take it up to a young, developing AFL-listed players, I think.
Yeah, so I think, similar to you, that a downfall of the AFL and Waffle Team Alliance is you do lose a lot of the youth players coming through because they know they're not going to get a league game with Eagles players getting dropped to East Perth. So they do leave and then go to other clubs. I mean, a standalone team would also be less disruptive. Peel and Freo, as you said, they are working a lot better than East Perth and Eagles at the moment. But yeah, I agree with you. I think it's better if it's standalone.
I think it's also interesting when you see people like Liam Ryan this year. He plays for the Eagles now, but obviously got his shot through playing really, really well for Subiaco. And when he plays in the Waffle, he has to play for East Perth against his old side, Subi. So I think even the players who play for West Coast when they play in the Waffle would like to play for their old sides.
Yeah, same as Dom. He's a Subi boy, so I'm sure he would have that alliance with Subiaco as well.
And yeah, I'm sure there's plenty of them who feel the same. So, look, I think it's been trialled. It hasn't worked that well for East Perth. As we said, it has worked for Peel and Freo. But I think if they get their own reserve side, that'll be better than affiliating with two Waffle clubs going forward.
It's time for the Monday Waffle Tips. Let's get down to business.
All right, my tips for this weekend. So it begins on Friday, Subiaco versus Peel at Leaderville Oval. I'm going with Subi.
Friday night under lights, Anna, get down there.
Yeah,
I
will.
Bit of waffle action.
Yeah, I will be there with my notepad and pen. Saturday, we've got Swan Districts versus Perth at Steel Blue Oval. I'm going Swan Districts. Then we've got East Freo versus West Perth at East Freo Oval. I'm going West Perth. And then South Freo v Claremont at Fremantle Community Bank Oval, and I'm going South Freo. So pretty much going with the latter, but...
So you've gone Subi, West Perth.
No, yep. Sorry.
Swans, South Freo.
Yep.
Not bad. Well, I think Subi, look, they'll go 12-0. They'll beat Peel at Leaville Oval on Friday night. East Freo, West Perth on Saturday. I think West Perth will be too good for East Freo. East Freo really struggling this season, just two wins from their 12 games. The Swans will be too good for Perth at Steel Blue Oval at home. And I think Claremont will take it right up to South Freo. I think they'll beat South Freo away on Saturday afternoon.
So that's our one disagreement.
And look,
if
you were going to go to sports bet and check the odds, Claremont would be pretty rank underdogs. And if you're going to have a flutter, as always, gamble responsibly. And thank you for joining us on the Monday Waffle.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Anna.
It was great fun.
Great effort today. Well done out there.
See you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Monday Waffle, proudly brought to you by the students from ECU Broadcasting.